This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I know all of us are really excited that we might be on to that next chapter where we're on to be together again. So this is very, very, very nice. I have a lot of things that I'm excited about talking about. There's so much going on in the world in general, and very much many changes in front of us in the business world, in the marketing world, entrepreneur land, the places that I play. I gave a lot of thought to what I wanted to bring to the table today. How do I bring the most value to this audience? And I think the way I'm gonna break down this talk is really at the end of the day, how I got to this place. When I really analyze what has allowed me the great flattery of having a speaking career and having successful businesses and being a happy person, professionally, I do a lot of things well, I do a lot of things not well. We're all that way. But at the end of the day, there's always been one thing that I've done exceptionally well, and I define it in my mind as day trading attention. The one thing that I know, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're an executive, whether you work for a Fortune 100, or whether you work for a Fortune 1000, or 10,000, or 100,000, the only common denominator that I can talk to in a room of this size and bring value to each and every one of you is predicated on attention. The currency that we are all battling for to achieve anything we want, including knowing that many of you have your professional wants and needs, but there are things that you care about in your life outside of your work, whether it's a family business that you're not involved in, whether that's a nonprofit, whether that's social issues, whether that's raising a couple of dollars for your kids' school. The one thing that is the common thread to this room is before you can tell someone what you want or what you'd like them to do, you need their attention. And attention has been a huge passion of mine my whole life. I've been in the advertising industry for the last 13 years, and VaynerMedia has disrupted that industry quite a bit, and it was because of my focus of attention. Many people here work in big businesses, whether B2B and B2C. It has been my hypothesis for the last 15 years that the way they've tried to build their brands and create sales has made assumptions on consumption from television commercials, from digital, assumptions on reports, assumptions on reach. They buy and spend so much money to get reach, to get awareness, but they accept reports and how the industry has traded on it, yet it's not true. It's not actual consumption, it's potential reach. This thesis that I see from the world's biggest companies also plays out for the individual influencers and creators and entrepreneurs in this room. That right now, I'll give you a great example. In Romania, so many of you continue to be obsessed with growing on Instagram while TikTok is underused in the country, but the attention is there at enough scale that the content you provide would outsize the return of followers and awareness that you're looking for. We are incredibly good as human beings at respecting yesterday's attention, and we're terrible at respecting today's attention because we convince ourselves that it's tomorrow's attention. This is the framework that I've been trading under pretty much my whole life and definitely the last 25 years of my career. Before I get into the state of the union of Web 2, the state of the union of Web 2.5, which is really the big opportunity, while we go to Web 3, I want to create context about Web 1. There are many people in this room that would never admit to this, but only 25 years ago, they disregarded the internet itself and thought the internet was a fad. There are many people in this room, many people in this room, who disregarded every technology over the last 25 years. They didn't want to put their credit card into a computer because they were scared their credit card number would be stolen to buy something. They did not want to give up their, how many people in this audience, raise your hands, are over the age of 45? Raise your hand. Don't be scared, I'm over 45 too. Higher, higher. The amount of people who just raised their hands that did not want to give up a pager to get a smartphone, or my favorite one for everybody who raised their hands, kids. Do you know how many people just raised their hands that swore they would never give up their BlackBerry for an iPhone because they didn't want to give up the buttons? Watch this. Raise your hand if you're one of those people. How many of those people now have an iPhone? That. What just happened there is what I do for a living. What do you say you're not gonna do that I know you're going to do, and how do I build infrastructure there so that when you show up, I have more market share? This happens within genres. So many people in this audience thought that Facebook and Twitter was stupid the first time they heard it. When Facebook first hit the scene, it was only for kids. Today, only 15 years later, it's only for grandparents. This is an important way to start the conversation with all of you because of where I'm about to go. We, as human beings, love no and are scared of yes. It's what we do. We get comfortable and we are unable to see the opportunity that is in front of us because of that fear of trying something else, because of that lack of interest to put in the extra work, to do the homework, to understand the new thing. Almost everybody in this room that struggles with NFTs is only because they haven't done the 25 hours of homework to understand that it's the blockchain and that's different than the internet, and you're bringing your internet brain to the blockchain, which is why you're confused. The reality of the world we live in today is technology is happening faster and the opportunities happen faster and the vulnerabilities happen faster and more extreme. You in a corporation can hold on. You can hold on as an executive. How many people here work at a company? Raise your hands. Raise. Hi, please. Most. You can hold on. You know why? It's not your business. At the end of the day, I have empathy for that. You're a human being. You can't care about somebody else's business more than you care about your life. But for the people that have a business that they own, it is their life. Their business is their fourth child, their third child, their fourth child. It is their family. It is their livelihood. This is why entrepreneurs often will move faster. Not because they're smarter, really. Not because they're smarter, but because they have no choice. They have no choice. When you miss market inside your company, you can resign and go work at a different company. Even a competitor of the company you just worked for. Happens all the time. That used to make a lot more sense in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s because everything moved slower. But what I'm passionate about is flying into this great country and looking across this many people and just getting one of you to recognize that you're putting your head in the sand, to recognize that you're living in no, to recognize that you have a lot more of your career left. One of the biggest arguments I hear from so many people when I talk about this stuff is like, Gary, I've been doing this for 25 years. I don't have, you know, I'm just not gonna do this much longer. I don't even have the energy for this anymore. And I always ask them, like, how much longer are you gonna do this? And often they say 15 years, 12 years, 20 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. And so I come here because 2021, 2022, and now going into 2023 has absolutely started the process of us living in a Web3 world. This does not mean, like some of my friends believe, that we're gonna live in the metaverse next year. I don't see it. I don't see people wearing headsets and spending 7 hours a day in the metaverse. I think that conversation is premature, but on the horizon. What I do know, though, is that every hour on the hour, more people become comfortable with the concept of owning a custodial wallet, have purchased a cryptocurrency, have tasted it, have bought an NFT. The problem with Web3 is there's too much greed in it because there's too much money being thrown around. Web 1 and Web 2 was all happening behind the scenes. Web 3, everybody's trading and people are getting FOMO when people are making lots of money and people are making fun of people when it crashes like it has the last month. All of that is just noise. That means nothing in the macro. The technology doesn't give a shit of the price of Bitcoin and Ethereum. The technology doesn't care if VFriends or Bored Ape or World of Women is doing well or not well. The technology is. The biggest mistake that we make from America to Romania to China and everywhere in between is we actually think technology cares about our opinion. The amount, right? I'm gonna go to the guy who clapped because I'm very happy with him, right? Like fuck, as if the blockchain cares what we think about cryptocurrency. Like our opinion of cryptocurrency is gonna dictate the world's technology. More importantly, it already happened. Yeah. I'm not standing up here talking about Web 4. It already happened. It already happened. I watched this movie play out for the last 20 years with the internet. Again, nobody would like to admit what they thought about the internet, about email, about the iPhone, about Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and TikTok. Nobody here wants to make fun of themselves for what they actually thought, yet so many of you in this room are repeating the same mistake again. Now, when I say repeating the same mistake, I don't think anybody should dictate somebody else's ambition. I think that's ludicrous. We all have different levers of success and what we want to happen. To me, I'm just talking about what's actually happening. How one in this room wants to decide what they do about it is on them. Some people in this room are actually retiring. As a matter of fact, who here in this room is retiring in the next 5 years? And I don't mean that you're gonna build a huge company and retire and buy an island. I mean, you're old and you're almost done. Raise your hands. Put on the lights. I want to see it. I was really hoping you were going to raise your hands, sir. Hold on. Raise your hands. I want to see who's retiring in the next 5 years. One, two. All right. Let's clap it up for the four old people. So four people out of 7,000 don't need to pay attention for the next 45 minutes. Everybody else here better wake the fuck up. And let me tell you what I mean by wake the fuck up. It comes in two ways. For some of you, wake the fuck up means actually going on the offense and making a career change, putting in work to educate yourself for 30, 40 hours on all these new things, try something on the side creatively while you do your thing and pay your bills in case maybe it clicks and then you can maybe do that. For some of you, wake the fuck up means defense, meaning you need to be very careful. If you are a cliche 38 to 54 year old executive right now, and you are not paying attention to the current state of Web 2, Web 2.5, Web 3 emergence, you are going to lose in the next 10 to 15 years your opportunity to grow within the organization. What is going to happen, because it's been happening for the last 25 years, is one of your fellow workers, almost always, who's reporting to you or reporting to somebody who's reporting to you, will outmaneuver you in their efforts to understand what the consumer is doing today and for the next 10 years. And when economic stress happens, the organization will go with the more contemporary marketer or decision maker to get the next at bat. This is happening right now. I say this in this room because the last 3 weeks of my life have been talking to Fortune 5000 board members and CEOs because the recession is coming and they know that their marketers are not on it. And they are asking me who in the organization that I'm servicing that's not the CMO should get the next job. And none of the number twos are on my recommendation list. Why? Because of what I'm saying now. What I have been confused about for my whole career is why people get away from the trenches. why they become so about meetings and boardrooms and lose touch with what actual human beings do. Why they begin to believe reports that are fake over their own common sense intuition and what they believe as a human being. This is foreign for the entrepreneurs in the room because you have no choice. You have to pay attention to what the customer's doing. That's how you eat. It is incredibly real. I'm watching some of the faces in front of me for the people that are in the trenches in corporate environments. I know why they do it. It's the currency of their organization. It's how bonuses get done. It's how everyone is scored. These reports are broken. We must go into the next decade becoming more consumer-centric and more common sense oriented. What I see that is very clear to me, because I lived through 1996 to 1999, and I lived through 2005 to 2009, is the next transition to how human beings are going to interact. I'm gonna start with Web 2. Before I get into blockchain, I wanna talk about social media because it will affect everybody in this room tomorrow. Right now, we live in a world where social media is the infrastructure to communication. Of course, mainstream media has a place. Of course, print has a place. But let there be no confusion. The scaled opinion shaping of our society is overwhelmingly happening across 7 to 12 platforms where other human beings and organizations are producing content. There are incredible opportunities for organizations and individuals in this room in this world. However, most people here today look at these channels as distribution channels, and so they make a single piece of content and they want to put it everywhere, whichever ones they're in. These platforms are very specific rooms. The keynote I will give here, for example, me pushing everyone here to finally open up a TikTok account if you're in Romania, is specific to Romania. In Australia, everyone's already done it. It won't come out of my mouth. I know the mix of executives versus entrepreneurs in this room, thus tailoring my message for this hour based on the room. If you do not produce content, advertising, information, creative, that is contextual to the distribution, and most importantly, contextual and relevant to the person that's actually consuming it, you have no shot of succeeding. We must all collectively here take one humongous key point out today, which is, I believe today, not tomorrow, not the next day, today, the variable of your business growth from a consumer standpoint, including B2B. How many people here are in B2B? Raise your hands. Including B2B, I am flabbergasted by how many people continue to not use LinkedIn to produce 3, 4, 5 pieces of creative content marketing a day. A day. I watch unlimited startup SaaS companies to Fortune 500 companies selling $20 million, $50 million RFP scopes win it on LinkedIn through a single piece of content. Yet the B2B marketers in this room would rather spend $1 million to build out a booth at a convention, or buy print ads, or more importantly, as all the B2B people that just raised their hands, they know really deep down, their company is a sales organization, not a marketing organization. Yet, we are sitting in a time right now where LinkedIn is the close second to TikTok when it comes to getting more organic reach for your post than you deserve based on the way the algorithm and supply and demand of content and attention is playing out. All this world is built on is how many people's attention is on it, how many people are consuming it, and how many ads are coming into it. Three things. How many people are producing content every day? How many people are over in that world consuming content? And only one other variable, how much money in ads are coming into it. Today, if you spend no money on ads, the places where there's the most attention and not as enough content to fill it, thus rendering your ability to reach a lot more people, is TikTok, and LinkedIn. One is very B2C and one is very B2B. This is what I do daily. As a matter of fact, here's a curveball for anybody here who's very into this world. Because of the iOS 14.5 update and trackability that Apple updated that really hurt Facebook, many of the DTC and trackable app advertisers on Facebook have walked away. Ironically, on the flip side, still many 35-year-older and older are not there 14 times a day, but are still there multiple or at least one time a week consuming content. My organization and the organizations I'm on the board of or an investor of have gone from not even talking about Facebook as an organic place on your fan page or running ads for 24 to 36 months because of the explosion of Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok, to spending the last 6 to 12 weeks being obsessed on how good of a deal Facebook has become again, day trading attention. Day trading attention means some of the things of the past may be strong again. As a matter of fact, my overall thesis is not even digital. I would be thrilled to buy more television ads, more newspaper ads, and more radio ads if they just slashed the prices by 90%. My friends, everything that's going on in the world, everything that is going on in the world is based on communication. I was born in the former Soviet Union. I immigrated to the US when I was 3 years old. Because I had those Soviet roots and because I liked history, I did a lot of homework as a kid on history, last 50, 60 years. And there was something when I was in third or fourth grade that really caught my attention, which was what would happen when a country would have a coup d'etat. Not your normal fourth grade homework, but it always fascinated me. And I never knew why. And I always thought it was this very weird thing that I was curious about. And I read about a lot of countries overthrowing their governments. But it wasn't because I was so fascinated about that part. The thing that kept me interested all those years in my youth finally made sense to me in my 30s, which was I was always fascinated why the army would go to the newspaper station and the television station at the same time that they would go to the king or dictator's palace to overthrow that person. Somehow, as a child, I was intuitive that communication was the punchline of all of this. I don't have to explain to anybody in this room, we have absolutely been all very educated in the last 10 years as the world has shifted from America to India to Russia and everywhere in between. The world has absolutely recognized the argument I was trying to make in 2005. In 2005, 6, 7, 8, when I would go to conferences like this and we would go to dinner, my argument with the people from the outside of a small group that believed in social media was very simple, which was everybody in that table was underestimating the power of the platform. I was ridiculed, laughed at, it was silly. People did not believe that Twitter and Facebook could sell anything. Only 15 years later, everybody is always in a debate on how much these platforms should be regulated, how awful are they or not. We went in 15 years from a place where we did not think that Facebook and Twitter could sell a bar of soap to a place that we think they're so powerful they can undermine democracy. That happened in 15 years. What's about to happen with the consumer blockchain is going to be incredibly similar. Today, as I sit here, so many of you have not even begun your journey of actually educating yourself on what a blockchain is. You have opinions. You have opinions based on one or two or three headlines you saw, or one conversation with one friend that has a strong opinion. By the way, pro or con, you have opinions. But the reality is we do not put in the work. However, why this is important is very simple. It will change the way every single human being interacts. Now, what's ironic about it is much more web one than it is web two. The reason it's more web one, for the OGs in this room, especially even a generation even older than me, I heard about the internet in high school, but I had no idea how to even get on it. No different than people hearing about the blockchain and NFTs, but they don't know how to get a wallet and buy one. I, kids, sit down and wait till you hear what I'm about to say. In 1994, I used to pay $3 a minute to AOL to be on the internet. And if my mom picked up the phone, I was knocked off the internet. Think about that. Think about that. Right now is the biggest opportunity for wealth distribution, for company growth and decline. It's starting right in our face. Consumers will always pick things that eliminate friction. In 1996, I told everybody, when I was just entering my father's liquor store business in New Jersey, that I was gonna take my dad on the internet and I was gonna sell wine on the internet. Every wealthy, successful business person that was in their 20s, 30s, and 40s that used to come to the store that I would talk to said to me, why would anybody buy wine on the internet? You can just come to the store and get it. They would end with asking me, who would buy wine on the internet? I would look them dead in the face and reply, everybody. In 2007, people looked me dead in the face and said, why would anybody use Twitter? Who cares if somebody's eating a pizza or walking their dog? I would look them dead in the face and say, everybody cares. Humans are very bad at understanding humans. Today, I have dinners all year long, and people say to me, NFTs are so stupid. Bill Gates, one of the great technologists of our time, much like he did with the internet 20 years ago, said they're scams and they're stupid yesterday on stage or 2 days ago. People say to me, why would somebody want an NFT? Who cares to own a JPEG with a monkey on it? NFTs are stupid. Gary, who is gonna own, how many people are gonna own an NFT? And for the last year, I've looked them all dead in the face and said, everybody. But let me tell you why, because that's more interesting than a pontification. Like the lovely gentleman who just put up his phone and showed me a V friend, yes, people will collect NFTs for collectability, for the art that is a part of our world. Just to remind everybody, when art went to canvases instead of being on buildings, this is history, the only class that I was good at, you can go read it on Google. When art had a big innovation technology called the canvas was invented, everybody in the art world said art on a canvas is not real art, it must be on a building. So art is a part of our society and collectibles are a part of our society, and that's absolutely true. But let me tell you why I have conviction that all of you will own an NFT. All that NFTs are better technology for things that you already want to do. Many people here, if I said 15 years ago on this stage, if I was as passionate about NFTs back then about QR codes, I would say every one of you is going to use a QR code. Many of us would struggle with that 10 years ago because they were not a great utility. It existed. Some of us as marketers put it on stuff. 4 people used it and we deemed it a failure. What I understood about QR codes back then was it was technology. It wasn't a debate, it was technology. Today, everybody in here uses a QR code, A, because if you want to eat at a restaurant, you need to use it to get the menu. But B, it's your airline ticket. You're not getting anywhere on any airline without using a QR code. Soon that QR code at your airline will be an NFT. It will be better technology for British Airways, Lufthansa, and everybody else, because it will become a digital asset after you use it. Today, all of our airline tickets sit in our Apple wallets and just sitting there from prior flights. In a decade, they will become micro collectibles because they will have an artist attached to it, and somebody may offer you $280 because they follow that artist for a flight that you took from Bucharest to Mykonos. Why is that important? Why will Lufthansa do that? Why will British Airways do that? Because when that person buys the $280 flight ticket you had, because remember, they commissioned an artist to make it, and remember, they commissioned that artist because most corporations have very big social good corporate initiatives, and they chose this artist because she's from war-torn Ukraine, or she's a D&I candidate, or this, that, and the other thing. And then when she makes it, and collectors want all her stuff, including the year where she made all the airline tickets for a month, when that is sold for $280, British Airways gets 10% royalty on that transaction. So instead of issuing an app or an email or a QR code for you that goes into the digital garbage the day you stop using it, it becomes a digital asset that becomes a revenue stream in perpetuity. Imagine if this technology existed 75 years ago and there was airline tickets from Andy Warhol or Banksy, or whoever you want to choose, Jackson Pollock, knock yourself out. People don't understand that when technology is built, the mundane, the day-to-day, every sporting event ticket, NFT, every World Cup ticket, NFT, concert, NFT. Go to eBay and sites like it around the world right now and see how much tickets, stubs from famous events are sold every month. The people that issued those ticket stubs made $0. eBay made the money. DHL made the money. The digital infrastructure that the blockchain creates allows the issuer and the IP creator to have financial attachment in perpetuity. Every club card you have to any place, the gym, restaurant, country club, digital asset. What people have not done yet, and it's why they make the joke of, oh, you bought that NFT for $20,000? I right-clicked and saved it. I have it too. Ha, ha, ha. The reason they make that ludicrous joke that they think they're so clever about, but in 20 years, everyone's gonna make fun of them for making that joke, just like people that said the internet was a fad, is because they don't understand that the blockchain is not the internet. The blockchain is an invention that created the ability for the whole world at any time to know how somebody owns something digitally and accept it. It is a ledger. The same way that you, do you know how many people in this place right now own a home? Own a home? Yeah, let's raise hands. Who owns a home or an apartment? Do you know how many of the people that just raised their hands have no idea how to prove it? Just don't know how a title actually works. That it's a paper or digital ledger that's centralized and controllable by others. This is profound technology. Oh, and let me remind you one other thing. How many people here have children, either their own children, grandchildren, or nieces and nephews that are of the age of 5 to 14? Raise your hands. Let me just ask this room that has that. Have you ever heard of Roblox? Have you ever heard of Minecraft? Have you ever heard of Madden and FIFA and all this? Just to remind everybody, every single child on earth under the age of 18 is being trained every day to believe and understand NFTs. Yeah. All of them. All of them. You know what my favorite part is? How many people in this room made fun of their mom and dad for holding on to their Hotmail email, or dial-up, or not getting a smartphone, or not getting an Instagram account? For every one of you that's shitting on NFTs in this room, in your head, prior to this talk, I've got good news for you. You've become your parents. Now, this is very important because I feel like the last 8 minutes have been very compelling and may have started the process of people becoming curious and maybe doing something. I need you to hear something very, very, very profound. 99% of the NFT projects that are in the world today will go to zero. It's very important to hear. What I just talked about for the last 10 minutes is not VFriends, is not Bored Ape, is not CryptoPunks. It's about the technology and consumer behavior. As a matter of fact, many of the large corporations here are part of the 1% because they'll be able to actually provide utility on the back of the collectability. We have just lived through the collectible era with a hint of utility. We are going to the era of utility with a hint of collectability. So before, thank you, but before you go and run out and buy something tonight, you must do 20, 30, 40 hours of homework. And let me tell you how I did it. Just 2 years ago, even though I watched it in 2017 with CryptoKitties, I bought Ethereum in 15, I was watching, but I wasn't in because the timing wasn't ready. But 2 years ago when I got very deeply like, uh-oh, the hairs on my neck, it's time. I sat on my floor, it was COVID, I put my YouTube on my TV, and the first thing I typed in is, what is an NFT? Enter. And I watched hours of videos. I'm not a good reader, some of you are, so you'll be even more efficient. And I had to listen and watch, and over and over, and over and over, and over and over. And then when I fell in love with CryptoPunks, which was kind of, not the first Ethereum project, but the one that established the way that the world is working today, and I always believe history always defeats execution, because execution must be sustained forever. And so I was very much pot committed to investing. I did 20 hours of why CryptoPunks were gonna be worthwhile. And then I did 20 hours of searching, why are CryptoPunks a fad? Enter. Why are CryptoPunks a scam? Enter. Why? I chose to look at both sides. The majority of this room, both into it or against it, have chosen to only look at one side. This is an important time of opportunity. Because let me give you an example. How many people here sell product on the internet to customers? Raise your hands. Can you put the lights on? I want to get a sense. Raise it high, please. I want to see if I want to go down this path. I'll go through it quickly. Here is why, another example why NFTs will matter to so many of you. If you sell product on the internet, using digital assets to enhance the buyer experience is an incredible opportunity. Instead of selling to somebody one-off, as you can imagine, whether you're selling toothpaste or clothes or digital content, getting somebody to sign up for a subscription with recurring revenue is a much better business model than hoping they come back. When you offer your product, if the person buys a subscription, they get a free NFT of value, you have now induced and produced so much more value. As digital assets become valuable and the cost of them to make is so low, that is profoundly valuable to the person issuing them. Not only that, you will now know who owns it. You will know the customer, they will have it. You can then, again, Web 2.5, use the internet with the blockchain, Web 2, Web 3, and create Web 2.5 experiences where the individual might have ordered a 1 year subscription to your business, but 6 months in, you may have a Zoom event where all the people that are subscribers have access to a 1 day digital conference that you put on, and you will know who that is because they have to connect their wallet to prove they own the asset to consume it. What will that do? There will be people who want to get access to the content, who have not subscribed to you, who will buy the NFT off of people who bought the subscription. You, as an organization, will make a royalty on that transaction That person will consume the content, will become aware of your brand, potentially sell after the one day the asset, because now the conference is over. You become the central bank and economy of your organization. If you have no idea what the fuck I said, watch the repeat of what I just said on Google. Suck at 90% of things. But for the last 25 years, I was very blessed that my parents had sex at the right second to give me DNA that makes me uncomfortably intuitive to what you're gonna do. What is very clear to me that you're gonna do is there's not a person in this room who is not gonna interact with a consumer blockchain at scale. Many of us hear the history of AOL, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, and we missed it. We missed the opportunity to invest in the stock. We missed the opportunity. Some of the executives in here missed the opportunity to go work at the company. They were scared, it was too new. We missed it. I am telling you from the bottom of my heart, everyone, that the next biggest thing since the internet itself and social media itself is now upon us. It is called the consumer blockchain. There's a ton of confusion. One of the reasons there's confusion, as I said earlier, there's so much greed. So much greed, because there's so much money attached to it. Web 1 and Web 2, all the money was behind the scenes. The VCs and the startups. But the consumers, us, we didn't get to participate, we just used the products. Unfortunately, and I say this as an entrepreneur and a capitalist, unfortunately, there's so much money being thrown around that we're seeing the worst behavior in people trying to steal and scam. And then even not bad intent, people, I'm sure this is not gonna confuse anybody, people do dumb shit for money. And so people are guessing and hoping and borrowing and just, and unfortunately the market got very hot for a year, skyrocketed prices, so people that were guessing were winning. And when people that are guessing are winning, I'm always scared. I'm incredibly happy standing here today based on the last 6 to 12 weeks of the correction of the market. It's going to weed out a lot of people that are gonna go on to the next thing that they think is a quick buck. But the builders, the technologists, the people that understand what the consumer's actually gonna be doing for the next 20 years, this is their favorite time. I wanna remind everybody, especially the OGs that lived it to remember, and then for the kids that didn't live it, I want to remind you, when the internet started to get momentum in 1997, 1998, 1999, many of those companies went public. Some of those companies went public in 1998, 99, and were worth 80 billion. This is back in 1999. That's like 80 trillion today. 80 billion, 50 billion. They didn't have any revenue. The world subconsciously, this is a very important sentence, the world subconsciously knew something big was happening, thus pushing so much money into it. But the thing that was happening wasn't mature yet. And so what everybody expected, me included, I was a kid. Somebody asked me yesterday, they're doing a pretty deep research on me, and she asked me, what have you gotten wrong? Because she's trying to, she wants to actually get me, she wants to razz me. She's like, I can't find it. And I said, I got lucky. Everything I got wrong was before I made content. I got a lot of things wrong in my 20s. I didn't understand timing. Let me explain how it played out. In 2017, I saw an Ethereum project called CryptoKitties. Who's familiar with CryptoKitties? Very nice. I saw it. But because I learned the lessons of timing in the 90s, I looked at it and I said, nobody's doing this yet. It's a very, very, very small, very nerdy group. And I love the nerds. They're always right. But what they're wrong about is timing too. I mentioned the metaverse earlier. The metaverse makes a lot of sense. It's less friction for the consumer. We're just not there yet. The technology's not there yet. The consumer's not ready. But there'll be a time. The mistake I would have made back in the 90s is I would be giving this speech in 2017 and I would have been wrong. I would have been too early. The reason I give this speech in the middle of 2022 is now we're close. Now we're close. Millions are involved. Hundreds of millions are aware. Big corporations, really creative people are all testing and tasting, starting their process. this next 5 years, those internet stocks that were worth billions, 99% of them in March of 2000 went to zero. History always repeats itself, my friends. 99% of them went to zero. However, if you did your 20, 30, 40, 50 hours of homework back then, you might have done what I did, which is you might have really believed in this one CEO out of Seattle named Jeff Bezos, who had a company named Amazon, and you would have known that people actually were buying a little bit from Amazon, and you would have loved that the stock during the crash went from $100 to $4. In the next year, the NFT market will clean itself out. In the 1% to 2% are the next Amazons, eBays, and PayPals. What I desperately want for everybody here, because I want to get an email from you in 13 years saying thank you, and then say, you know, I was in Bucharest in 2022. At first I thought you were full of shit, but then I did the homework. Blah, 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 blah. Now I made $1 million. Thank you, Gary. You're welcome, Sandro. What I want for this room, what I came here to do, was to give context, clarity on actual consumer behavior, timing, with the hope to inspire you to not listen to me, to not listen to the mainstream media that always has an agenda to not let the world advance because it hurts their business model, to not listen to your one internet friend, whether they're pro or con, but for you to have the curiosity and the understanding that you've lived long enough now to know it hasn't mattered in the past when you didn't want the technology. You eventually had to figure it out, and it's always better to figure it out early. To go home and do the work, it's a perfect time. It's the summer. A lot of you are gonna go on vacation. A lot of you are gonna do half day Friday. A lot of you are working remote and actually have a little more time to do an hour of research. This is the time to get educated on Web3 and start executing Web 2.5. Web 2.5 for me, the way I define it, is when you use equally and aggressively the current state of the internet, social, Discord, and the blockchain, which I would argue is the far majority of what's happening now. We are not in Web3 yet. We are not in decentralized servers at scales yet. We don't have a TikTok and Facebook social network yet that's built on the blockchain, that's owned by nobody, and we all use. You know, I actually am going to close with this. I'm going to tell you why I'm so excited about the blockchain. The blockchain is decentralized. Nobody controls it. Over the last 5 years, us human beings have gotten very good at something. Let me tell you what that is. We, in the last decade, have become remarkable at blaming everyone and everything besides our own selves. I listen to people talk about Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and China and Mark Zuckerberg and this and that. In short order, there will be a leading social network that is decentralized, rendering nobody in control of the algorithm. That will be the day that everybody realizes the algorithm didn't fuck you up, you fucked yourself up. I believe if we are fortunate, the blockchain will become the foremost technology to allow us to start the process of a more brighter decade. One that we all realize that accountability is the foundation of happiness. It may not be fun to face the mirror and understand your shortcomings. It's not fun for me, I have plenty. But I promise you, you want some anxiety to come off your chest? You want to smile a little more than worry? It starts with accountability. And I believe as we head into this decentralized world, accountability will gain momentum, and that will be good for society. Bucharest, I love you. Thank you for having me.